Today is April 22nd, 2021. This is Critical Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P, our regular Thursday evening webinar. And tonight we have a very, very special webinar that we're going to be doing for at least 90 minutes. We want to thank everybody for coming in and joining us. I personally want to welcome Dr. T again, and Cookie and Michelle and all of Dr. T's staff. And I also want to give a warm welcome to Maureen McDonald, who is the spearhead of MAMM.org, been a nurse for 40 years and very much involved in this. Tiffany, I want to welcome you as part of MAM and a real help and a strength on the path to creating truth. And I also want to welcome Dr. Christiane Northrup, who, if anybody's going to talk about women's health, ladies and gentlemen, it's Dr. Northrup. And I defer to you when we start this, Dr. Northrup, for all of your experience and your heart and your fire when it comes to women. I also want to welcome Dr. Carrie Madej. For those of you who do not know Carrie Madej, I welcome you to her tonight. She's a special, special physician and person. And I know that you're all going to be very, very impressed. And Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Merritt, I have not met you, but I have watched your lectures and I know about you and I am really happy you are here. Yes. Welcome to our group. We look forward to this special edition. As many of you know, Dr. T and I have been doing this for a year and we really feel very, very strongly about critically thinking and coming to the truth. We look forward to this discussion. I'm going to pass it over to Maureen, unless Dr. T wants to make any introductory comments. I'm going to pass it over to Maureen, who will help moderate tonight's beautiful discussion. I think the genie is out of the bottle, and I look forward to making sure it stays out of the bottle.
Okay, just the only thing I want to say is this is just to back up what Larry said. We've been doing this for a year now, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so when we started in our group chat, we set up a little group chat and started talking about all of these issues that we've been seeing thousands and thousands of people, women and men, complaining about, you know, unusual bleeding and issues with menstrual cycles. And they're in contact with people who've been given the shot, not necessarily intimately, not like this is a spouse or a lover or anybody that they're actually living in, even in the same household, but they've been exposed to people. And so we started talking about this through a chat. And then, I don't know, maybe it was Christiana, it was one, somebody in this group here started saying, well, why don't we do this live in front of everybody? And when can we do this? And we said, well, the sooner is the better. This was yesterday, people. I want to tell you how fast we pulled this together. This was yesterday morning. We started talking about this. And I said, well, sooner rather than later is a good thing. And so Larry and I do this critically thinking on Thursday nights. We know that we're already available. And so we quickly did a bunch of text messages.
Turn
and a
it
bunch
off.
Of things going
turn it
together.
Off, Sherry. Sherry, turn it off.
I'm trying. We're trying to put this whole thing together just this quickly. So everybody said yes. Michelle, God bless her, has been scrambling in the background, trying to get, you know, Zoom things and links and emails sent out and everything all day long. And then Cookie's been, you know, who hasn't been feeling very well lately, as you know, came to the battle to do this with us tonight. And so that, just without any further ado, I just wanted to say, you know, we really wanted to talk about this and bring together, you know, physicians who really have thought this through. We've chewed on it a lot. And I just want to start, Maureen, even before you start with the whole panel, the first thing I want to say that I think is really important is, because I've been saying this for a while now in the interviews that I've been doing, that the three questions that have been coming up, and I think we'll address these three tonight and maybe some more, that I keep getting over and over again is, number one, the issue of shedding, number two, the issue of infertility, and number three, the question about the integrity of the blood supply. And I think that all of those will cover what we're going to talk about tonight. And I'll just start just briefly by saying that You know, at the beginning, we started talking about this in this whole concept of shedding. I said, this isn't shedding, you know, because we have always connected shedding with live viruses. Like if you've got the flu and you're coughing with something, or the polio vaccine or the rubella vaccine or chickenpox vaccines, because those are live virus things. Those are what we think typically think about shedding. And since we've made a really big distinction between vaccines and COVID shots, because these COVID things are not vaccines, in my opinion, I think it's important for us to separate shedding goes with these over here. And what's happening over here is transmission, because something is being transmitted between people that we haven't clearly identified yet. And that's what the part of the discussion is going to be amongst all these physicians and people here tonight. What is it that's possibly being transmitted between the vaccinated person to an unvaccinated person? So I think, you know, you guys have heard me say this for decades. Thoughts are things, words have power, and definitions have meaning. And so if we talk about this being a transmission, that keeps COVID shots over here and shedding and vaccines over here. And I know we sort of blow this around today on our chat, and everybody sort of agreed with that. So I just kind of wanted to start from there. So if you start hearing us tonight talking about, you know, because the question about shedding keeps coming up, I want you to start changing your language from, you know, we changed immunization and immunize into vaccinate and vaccines, because you're not getting any immunity from any of these shots. So we sort of erased that for a while ago. I think if we start changing it to talking about transmission, it may make a lot more sense of the things that we're going to talk about. So with that as a backdrop, Maureen.
Okay, thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. We really appreciate you being on with us, and I so appreciate these expert physicians coming on to share their knowledge and theories, really, of what's happening, because I don't think anyone really knows. I think we're witnessing an unprecedented situation here. We're getting reports from thousands of women around the world. We're seeing things like women are bleeding for weeks. Some of them are not getting their period. Some postmenopausal women are bleeding. Some people are passing large clots. Women in pregnancy are developing clots. Women are experiencing miscarriages. Some people are having bloody noses. Children in proximity to those who've been vaccinated are developing bloody noses and clotting. There's bruising on the legs being reported, blood clots in men. We're seeing things that make no sense. And all we can do is open up discussion. Again, we're seeing unprecedented censorship. So this forum is an incredible way to hear some expert theories on what's going on. So we have to discuss, we have to debate, we have to investigate, and we have to research. So I'd like to ask a few questions of the panelists, and I'm sure it'll just roll into a very lively, amazing conversation. But before I do, before you speak, if you could just give a few minutes of your background, because recently I've heard a couple of you being introduced and it really didn't do justice to who you are and the amazing background that you bring to this subject. So if you could just introduce yourself prior to speaking the first time, that would be wonderful. So I think the first question is on people's minds, women around the world. What do you think is happening? Do you think this is hormonal? Do you think the uterus is being is a targeted organ? What exactly do you think is going on in simple terms that all of us can understand? I know this is a complex issue and there's many avenues we could pursue. But just in your idea, Dr. Christian Northrup, what do you think is happening to not only people who have been vaccinated developing these problems, but now, as Dr. Sherry said, in people who are in close proximity to those who've been vaccinated? We've never seen this before. So what do you think is happening? And you're muted.
Thank you. So I'm introducing myself first. I'm a board certified OBGYN physician, went to Dartmouth Medical School, did my residency at Tufts New England Medical Center in Boston. I was a clinical assistant professor of OBGYN for 25 years at the University of Vermont College of Medicine. I'm the author of 3 New York Times bestsellers, including this Bible of women's health called Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, loaded with peer-reviewed literature and my experience on the front lines of mind-body medicine when it comes to women. For many, many years, I was on the Oprah Winfrey Show 10 times. I did 8 highly successful public television specials, which raised millions of dollars for public television. In 2013, I was one of the Reader's Digest 100 most trusted people in America. And now, in 2021, I am one of the 12 disinformation dozen, along with Sherry, of those of us accused of 70% of the disinformation about vaccines on the internet, which is an astounding fall from grace until you understand who is determining what grace is. Having studied the menstrual cycle, our connection with creativity, our connection with the moon, I am rather horrified at what's been going on around this. Now, I already knew, this is a report here from LifeSite News. Thousands of reports of menstrual irregularities and reproductive dysfunction following COVID vaccines. So the media has focused on blood clots, but then we had suddenly all of these women, and a friend of mine today literally sent me a picture of what came out of her body. She's a woman in her 30s. Entire decidual casts, they're called, meaning that the entire inside of the uterus just sloughs off, decidua, meaning like deciduous trees that shed their leaves. The menstrual cycle is one of the indices of health. So we know that a regular menstrual cycle that's every 25 to 30 days is considered one of the ways that we determine a woman's health. And when suddenly you have thousands of people all over the world, many of whom have not been vaccinated, but have been around those who have, we begin to wonder. Now, we already know that polysorbate 80, which is included in these shots, can adversely affect ovarian function. It has shut down ovarian function in rats. We also know that many, many women have become infertile as a result of the Gardasil vaccine, which I spoke out about in 2006 on the Oprah Winfrey Show. There are things called pheromones that are secreted by the apocrine sweat glands in the pubic area and under the armpits. Those regulate women's menstrual cycles. The pheromones are why we think women have periods at the same time when they're all living together in close proximity. There are so many things that affect the menstrual cycle, but the reports that we are getting are not only swelling of the genitals, erectile dysfunction in males, scrotum swelling, problems of this nature, breast irregularities, all of that. This is from the Yellow Card voluntary program in England, but we don't have any database right at this very moment, a formal database for these abnormalities that are occurring when you're simply around someone who's had this shot. So my feeling on this is that there's some kind of a bioweapon. Some kind of a bioweapon that that the body is now secreting, transmitting, as it were, as you said, Sherry, from somebody who's had the shot. Because here's what we know. This is not a normal immunization. It is, in fact, something that causes the body to make a synthetic protein against a SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. It is a synthetic protein that's never been seen. And the body begins to produce this as a factory. It doesn't shut off. I mean, I had people say, well, you know, maybe in 2 weeks that will stop. There is no way this is going to stop because it's made your body into a factory for a synthetic protein that's never been seen before that theoretically can be in your saliva, urine, feces, sweat, seminal fluid, blood, flatus, maybe. And so when you're around a person, then I think this is coming out of their bodies and possibly adversely affecting the most delicate hormonal system. I mean, to get pregnant and stay pregnant is an enormously complex problem of system. And we know that that spike protein antibody cross-reacts with what's called syncytin 1 and 2. And those are proteins absolutely essential for the placenta, for fertilization, for maintaining a pregnancy. We now have women who are miscarrying. They are unable to get pregnant. They're having heavy bleeding. We don't know why, but my feeling about this is that something is being produced by the body of a vaccinated person that is possibly adversely affecting others. And it is of great concern to me.
Thank you, Dr. Northrup. And Dr. Madej and Dr. Merritt, I'd like to ask you the same questions. And who would like to start? Dr. Madej, would you like to start? Anything added to Dr. Northrup?
I'm Dr. Carrie Madej. I'm an internal medicine physician and an osteopath as well. Practicing for the last 20 years, medical director, teaching medical students and attending different meetings where the agenda for humanity was discussed. So I speak out about those things. Let's see. I have some opinions here. So I absolutely believe, just like Dr. Northrup does, that something is happening with these people that are getting these injections. I have a slightly different feeling about it because at least with the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines, one of the key components is the nanolipid particles, which are brand new technology on humanity. They're using a nanotechnology, which is pretty much little tiny computer bits. They actually can be nanobots, or another word is hydrogel. There's all different kinds of terms and names for the very same structure, but inside of those two vaccines is this this sci-fi kind of substance. So that has concerned me from the very beginning because that substance can do many different things. In this particular instance, what the drug manufacturers are telling us, they're saying they're using that substance because the body is very intelligent. It knows when something is not from nature, it would destroy this synthetic code that's being injected into the person right away. So they had to figure out a way to trick our bodies into accepting a synthetic code. They came up with this nanolipid particle that surrounds it. And so they're using it, their reasoning is it's an on-demand drug delivery system. So it allows the body and it suppresses our immune checkpoints to get into the cell. Now, they've never said what happens after the drug is delivered, because we know this substance can last for many, many years, who knows how long in the body. And it serves many purposes. First of all, it's on demand. It can be triggered at any moment to deliver the payload. Number two, very importantly, it can be used for biosensors in the body. Because it is something synthetic, it actually has the ability to accumulate data from your body, like your breathing, your respirations, thoughts, emotions, all kinds of things. So it has been proposed to use this substance for that. Why am I bringing this up? Well, this substance actually, because it's like little bits of computers in your body, it's crazy, but it's true, it can do that. It obviously has the ability to act through Wi-Fi. It can transmit and receive energy or messages or frequencies or impulses. That issue has never been addressed by these companies. Well, what does that do to the human, right? This is the first time they've done it large scale. We know it happens to small groups of military people. They've studied that. But just imagine you're getting this new substance in you and it can react to things all around you, the 5G, your smart device, your phones. What's happening with that? What if something's triggering it too, like an impulse, a frequency? We have something completely foreign in the human body that has never been launched large scale. And happened at this time, right? We are now seeing more 5G cell towers going in. The school systems, the cruises, the hospitals, et cetera, are putting more and more of this EMF frequency out. And so I believe, my personal belief is that there's something to do with the EMF, the frequency that's being emitted. Because if these people have this inside of them, wow, this can act like an antenna and actually transmit it outwardly as well. So it's a theory of mine, but if you look up the research on this substance, which you'll usually find under hydrogel, it produces its own voltage, which is an EMF, many times more. So we know it will produce that kind of effect. The other thing I want to mention is that I learned by patterns. And I noticed a pattern since coming back to Georgia in January. And some of the patients I've seen, I saw a new pattern. And I, after a long a series of deductive reasoning, I actually came up with why were they not successfully healing from XYZ, even in male patients that I have, it was radiation or at least EMF toxicity. And sure enough, if you measure, we were measuring all of our phones, and I was floored with the EMF that was coming off. It was out, it was over the range. It could not even be calculated with a number, just by a couple clicks on our phones. This is much more than when I measured last year. This was unbelievable. It was coming from all of our phones. And imagine that amount, because if you look at what EMF does to a human, so they've done studies of just a man putting a laptop on his lap. And after 15 minutes, his sperm count will decrease by 50%. How they did that study, I don't know, but that was the result of it. Also, a person, a young, healthy teenager, putting a cell phone up to their ear. We draw their blood before they use the cell phone. Beautiful red blood cells swimming around. After 40 minutes of the phone to their ear, and this was with an older phone, not the newer ones, all the red blood cells go into string-like patterns. They're called rouleau formation. These strings are so long and sticky. Of course, they make it prone to clotting and blood problems, right? If this goes on for a matter of time. So this just being around this kind of abnormal frequency, which is not conducive to a human body, is destructive in many ways. We know that one of the first things affected will be the red blood cells. They're very sensitive to that. So what I've been seeing, at least in the greater Atlanta area, is that there's definitely something to do with radiation or EMF toxicity that has definitely gone up in the recent times. And I am concerned about what is happening inside these vaccines that has to do with that frequency as well.
Well, okay. We are going to ask Dr. Merritt, and we are going to find some positive things in this insanity. We're going to have to get to the place where we can arm people with something they can do to protect themselves. And I know that's all going to be theoretical also.
At the end.
Excuse me?
We'll wrap up with the good, with what we can do.
That's right. We'll wrap up with the good stuff. So Dr. Merritt, tell us your ideas on all of this. Oh, you're muted. There you go.
There we go. Now am I good?
Perfect.
I'm actually an orthopedic surgeon. I did my medical school at the University of Rochester, New York, and I did a spine fellowship there. So I'm really, you know, this is way out of my, I didn't expect to be in this fight. I trained in the Navy and I served on the Navy Research Advisory Committee, where we looked at defense strategies for the Navy, technology actually. And by law, they have to have a physician on it. And I guess it's made me a little bit skeptical about lots of things. But when I look at this, I mean, I do think the point about the bioweapon is pertinent, and there's a lot to be said about that. That takes about an hour. But the point I was thinking when we were talking about this earlier, about what people were seeing, you know, we're not just seeing bleeding problems. We're also seeing, I've had these two stories that didn't involve, you know, menses or blood. They involved a woman who was a hairdresser, and everybody in her salon got vaccinated except her. And she kept getting sick for about 2 weeks after everybody else got vaccinated. But it was more like flu-like, COVID-like symptoms. And then the other one I just heard today from an orthopedic colleague is an older friend of his was given, he got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. He had 3 days of illness. His mother, who lived with him, was 88 years old. She did not get the vaccine, but she got COVID and died right then. So this brought up to me, I mean, I started thinking about mode of acquisition, because I when I first heard the thing about the people are asking about the, well, you mentioned shedding. So I actually, I asked Judy Mikovits about that, and she didn't, because I, my problem with that is, this isn't, if we're talking about the spike protein, which is just part of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, one wouldn't think initially that a portion of a virus is going to be transmissible. Normally, viruses go out through your, you know, the cells, you breathe them out. It's little viri and squeak out and float around and infect people. But this isn't the whole virus. The spike protein is just part of it. So could it be airborne? I mean, that's one possibility. The other one is a serum-borne thing, but that doesn't explain things like this guy's mother, and probably not a lot of the women that you're seeing. And then there's also fecal-oral transmission. I guess that could explain all of this. That's one way we could transmit maybe a whole virus. But again, we're not being given a whole virus. This thing produces the pathogen head, the spike protein pathogen in your cells. And then the other one I thought about is, you know, what's the definition of a prion? A prion is a misfolded protein. And what these spike, the way they weaponized the spike protein essentially is they inserted a gene into the spike protein that allows it to have a furin cleavage. And so that can be changed conformationally to then bind with your ACE2 pathway. So what you're talking about is an artificial 3D conformation, which sounds a lot like a prion to me. And those things are really, you know, that's a self-replicating protein that can be transmitted through serum for sure. We don't know how else it's transmitted. But that also seems to me a little bit unlikely because it takes years usually to see prion disease. I'm just thinking this through. Now, I mean, Dr. Maddie talked about the stuff in the vaccine. I think it's interesting to note they call that biolipid, that nanoparticle lipid that they encase the RNA. It's called Matrix M. Don't you love that name? But the other thing about that is, in terms of this bleeding, and in terms of your immune system, it turns out that the Matrix M also has the adjuvant. And by itself, it can tune up your immune system even without a pathogen. And it has a part of the adjuvant is from a bark in the South American tree. It's called the Quillarja saponaria or something. And they're called saponins. And I bring this up because when I look back at the original research of them trying to develop Matrix M, they talk about the problem of bleeding. It strips erythrocytes of their hemoglobin. It changes the conformation of the erythrocytes, which that's what Dr. Mate just said. It also damages the endothelium. And there's one more thing it does to the blood, but it causes something to do with antibody adhesions to cellular. Oh no, I know it causes lymphocyte destruction. So there's a lot of this thing. There's a lot of parts, moving parts in this vaccine that could be, you know, that could be the issue. And I think what needs to be said here is that what, you know, like any good crime, you know, we're trying to sort out. We need to figure out how it was done. And I really think transmission is the issue. And I'm starting to think the spike protein itself can be transmitted, because the other thing I looked at just from people that have been having the vaccine, I just looked and did my own little study that I couldn't get published yet, but it's going in, I guess. I looked for bleeding, words that were about bleeding, and I looked for thrombocytopenia in the VAERS. And in a 2-month period in the VAERS, there were, just using the terms I used, I pulled out 358 cases. And when you read them, you're hearing exactly what you guys are talking about. Abnormal menses, clots, large amounts of bleeding, unusual menses, and then all sorts of bleeding problems, brain bleeds, GI bleeds, bleeds from old scars, weird bleeding, like an old healed boil wound, and it just sort of spontaneously bleeding, men oozing blood from their legs. So this is, if what my point in doing this paper was, when you look at thalidomide and all the bad things that came out of that drug, one of the ways we stopped it was that they recognized that it was a gradient of the same problem. You know, that the way it presented was birth defects, but it wasn't all just children with no arms. It was a gradient down to just little ring things on your finger. And I think that's what we're seeing here. Whatever this is, it's doing this. It's you know, the clots, the cavernous sinus thrombosis that Dr. Tenpenny and I talked about, that is so rare. We're seeing clots, we're seeing bleeding, we're seeing a lot of things that have to do with, that could be what we're talking about with the saponins, with the endothelium. But again, it might just be the spike protein. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out because those were my thoughts on it, because, and I'd just be curious to know how many of these secondary illnesses were due to people getting the Johnson & Johnson. It seemed to be, because we're dealing with two different technologies here, the DNA technology versus the RNA technology. And I just wonder if that's something we've sorted out, because we just started hearing about this. The bleeding started early on, and it's not, I mean, that's with all of them. That's the ones I looked at, that I just looked at Pfizer and Moderna, and that was 358 cases in two months or less. So I guess I would be curious to know if the secondary effects we're seeing are in all of them or just the Johnson & Johnson. Maybe that has something to do with transmission. So.
Thank you. I wanted to ask Dr. Larry Pilecki, as a pediatrician, you know, we've sort of been under this false illusion that our children are safe and they're not developing coronavirus. And now we're seeing kids have problems, clotting, nosebleeds. What do you think is happening with the children?
Thank you, Maureen, and thank you everyone for your participation. I want to start with some pretty bold statements. That's very unlike me, right, Dr. T? Anyway, first of all, this is not a vaccine. This is not a vaccine. This is not a vaccine. A vaccine
is supposed to be saying that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. This is not a vaccine. A vaccine is supposed to protect us against a bacterial or viral infection. There is nothing in any of these shots that is designed to protect us against a virus infection. The authorities say it, the patents describe it. Everyone who is involved in the making of these injections, with their intention, it was never ever made to protect us against a viral infection. As soon as we start to realize that that is not what this is, we realize that everything after that is a complete and utter lie.
Yep.
And so this is not a vaccine. It is not designed to protect us against a SARS-CoV-2 viral infection. Therefore, it cannot stop the transmission of a SARS-CoV-2 virus, because what's in the shot is not meant to protect us against a SARS-CoV-2 viral infection. Now, when we look at the literature from 2020, and we see that people were getting illnesses of blood disorders, lack of oxygen, hypoxia, lung disease, clotting disease, strokes, hypertension, hypotension, loss of taste, loss of smell, neurological issues, COVID toes. This was not a viral illness. This was the clinical presentation of a poisoning of the blood. And all of the literature shows that the spike protein of this so-called virus was responsible for causing all of these symptoms: the brain problems, the neurological problems, heart disease, clotting factors, loss of oxygen, loss of taste, loss of smell, hypertension, hypotension. This spike protein was responsible for causing the disease that we saw. Ladies and gentlemen, this spike protein is not a naturally occurring thing. It is a man-made weapon. It is not a virus. This is part of, maybe attached to a virus and attached to who knows what else, that started the ball rolling with people getting sick. This was never an influenza-like disease. It was never a flu-like illness. It was straight up a poisoning of the blood. This spike protein could attach to receptors all over the body: the brain, the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the intestines, the sperm, and the female reproductive system. So they found in the naturally occurring COVID set of symptoms This spike protein was responsible for what made people sick. So why in God's name are we okay with injecting something into the body that's going to cause all of us to make spike protein? The very part of the so-called weapon that was creating the illness and the group of symptoms in the first place. This is not a vaccine. Now, if your body is being given the genetic material to make a synthetic spike protein, we have absolutely no idea what the body does when the genetic instructions get into the cells and start making spike protein. In fact, in our Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P, Dr. Tenpenny has specifically found the possibility that there are other pieces of mRNA that may be in some of these shots. So when people say, is something shedding? We really don't have any idea what's in this thing or these things. We think it's spike protein, but we generally have no idea. But if we go on the fact that spike protein is being manufactured in the factory by the cells of the human body, and that we know that maybe if our own messenger RNA was in our cells, we would turn it off ourselves. But we have no experience using an injected synthetic messenger RNA genetic instructions as to whether or not our bodies are going to turn that on or turn it off as we start the factory of making the spike protein. And so there is no evidence, zero evidence, no scientific studies as to whether or not that spike protein turns on and stays on or ever turns off. And we have no evidence if that body who's getting injected is making the spike protein, is exhaling it in particles through the lungs, spitting it out through saliva, urinating it out through urine, sweating it out through skin, or putting it out through gas or stool. We have no idea. But what we have is a massive, brilliant propaganda of genocide, because they don't have to inject everyone to get the results that they're looking for. Because now we see that those people who are getting injected are actually the lepers, are actually the pariahs, and are actually making healthy people who have never been injected get COVID symptoms, bleeding, which was part of the COVID illness itself, miscarriages, and death. This is not a vaccine. Please stop calling it a vaccine. As Dr. Made said, the lipid nanoparticles have never been used in injections before. They are capable of passing any material that it's attached to into the brain, the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the liver, the sperm, and the female reproductive systems. We are in a crapshoot. This is Russian roulette. We have no answers about what is being transmitted, how it's being transmitted, and we should be up in arms. That's why I said the genie is out of the bottle. Women, as the only guy on this panel, and working with mothers most of my life, women are more in touch with what's going on with their bodies than anybody else. Sorry, guys, they are. And this is genocide. This is a weapon of mass destruction. And it is requiring us to speak up. There is a prominent pediatrician in this country who has called me out and actually denied that there is any shedding in this injection. Ladies and gentlemen, that is conjecture only. There is something being passed from people who are shot up with this poison to others who have not gotten the shot. We should be quarantining those people who are injected with this poison. And the children who were not part of the initial round of spike protein poisoning probably because, and I don't know this for sure, their ACE2 receptors were probably not as prominent and not as ubiquitous to have been attaching to this spike protein. So their sense of illness was actually minor, all for a condition of weaponization that had greater than a 99.7% recovery rate in the majority of the public, and in a condition where we had drugs, nutritional interventions, medical interventions, ozone, hyperbarics, iodine, hydrogen peroxide, Chinese medicine, homeopathy, inhaled steroids, and other interventions that not only prevented this illness from happening, but treated people who were sick and actually prevented death in large populations where doctors were able to get to their patients and treat them and prevent them in time. Okay. This is serious. I'm not mincing words. Dr. T, you know I don't mince words. We don't know what's going on. And I know you want something nice. I really think we should start calling for people who are getting the shot to be quarantined and have a badge on their arms that say, I've been vaccinated, even though it's not a vaccine, so that we know to avoid them on the street and to not go near them anywhere in society.
Let's thank you, Larry. I know you've been, you know, having these theories and understandings for months and months, way ahead of the curve. And you're right on all counts. And what I want to ask, and what people are so desperate to know, and Sherry, I'd like to put this hypothetically to you. You're taking care of your elderly mother, and she's had the injection, and she lives with you. And this obviously will resonate with a lot of people whose partners have had the injection, or their older children who live with them, or whoever. So give me the scenario. What are you going to do? You live with this woman, you love her. She went and got the injection. What are you going to do to protect yourself and your other members of your household?
Well, I'll follow up with that. I just want to make a few comments about what the other great panel. I call this, these people here, when we put this together, like I said, in less than 24 hours, this is like the dream team, man. This is like my dream team, to be having these conversations all at the same time. We should do this regularly, because this is like the brain trust of dream team right here. I'm serious. So it's really like, you know, the people, the five doctors that are here, Tiffany, who you guys don't know, but Tiffany is the master brain behind the marketing of all these things that happen. Michelle's not up here, but she's my assistant. And between Tiffany and Michelle, we were able to pull this off. And Maureen, we're doing this all for MAMM.org too. MAMM.org. And Maureen is one of the brain trusts and the leader of MAMM. Tons of information that's there that you guys can hand out and flyers and share and educate of all those things. So be sure that you guys go there and look at MAMM.org and be able to download those things. And I just want to say a couple of things about mechanism, because I have a, you know, we're hosting a very large training program on May the 8th. May the 8th, we're going to be doing, I just finished, you know, I'm supposed to be on vacation, right? But night before last at 4 o'clock in the morning, I finished my project because I wanted to get it done. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, I finally got the final touches put on the ebook that I've created, which is the 20 mechanisms. The name of the ebook is 20 mechanisms of injury, how COVID-19 injections can make you sick and even kill you. And we're going to drill down on each one of those things, train you on each one of those 20 mechanisms. And it's way too much for people that are in the general public to get your head around 20 of them. So we're going to train you on how to, on one or two, and then we're going to have some sub trainings on that. But there are at least 20 mechanisms of injury that are doing this. And Larry, I'm so glad that you said that about stop calling it a vaccine. And I would even admonish my dream team here to stop. Every time you hear yourself say vaccine, stop. roll it back and say, I meant injection. I meant shot. It's not a vaccine. Auto-correct, self-correct, because we're so used to it and it's such a habit. And I'm not saying anything, I'm just encouraging you to self-correct, and because I do it. I mean, I hear myself say it occasionally. I go, oh, wait a minute, I didn't mean vaccine. I meant shot. Because thoughts are things, words have power, and what we say to our general audiences is really important. So I think that if you hear yourself say it, it's just a common mistake because we're so used to it. Wind the tape back and correct it. I really kind of feel like of the three shots, and I think that they all have vulnerability because at the end of the day, all four shots, including AstraZeneca, when I know we've got some international people on this call, you know, the mechanism of action of all four of them is to make a spike protein and make an antibody to the spike protein. And all the things that Larry laid out, we will talk about in detail on that webinar that we're going to have registration ready probably in the next 2 days, because we have to set up there's a big thing on the back end that has to be set up for that. But it's the spike protein. The spike protein can bust through the blood-brain barrier. It can, the spike protein itself can manipulate your genes and can modify proteins in your brain. It can cause pulmonary hypertension. It can cause cardiovascular problems. It is a lethal weapon. Now, can that protein get spread from person to person? Don't really know. But we do know that what I think is one of the main mechanisms is the Johnson & Johnson shot, the J&J shot. When it first came out and everybody went running over to the J&J because they said they had started learning about messenger RNA. And it's like, oh, I don't think I want that in my system. That doesn't have messenger RNA and it's only one shot. I want one of those. And I said from the beginning, this one is the worst of the three so far. And oh, by the way, I just checked earlier this evening, there are 89 other vaccines almost ready to go for this shot. So what are we going to do? Or is everybody going to be willing to do the next one in line? Because they're lining us up and getting us willing to roll up our sleeve for whatever they want to inject. And the J&J shot is an adenovirus shell that has genetic material called a transgene on the inside of it. 50 billion little particles of adenovirus gets injected into your arm. Adenovirus is a common cold virus. And so I suspect that part of the biggest shedding process is through J&J and that adenovirus that is pretty easy. What if it migrates into your lungs and you just are simply breathing and it's going out in different places? To me, that makes a pretty common sense transmission, not a shedding, a transmission of this thing that got injected into your arm. Now, do I have proof of that? No. But if you breathe in somebody else's adenovirus, it's got that little genetic material in it. You know, they're already looking at intranasal shots for these things of how they're going to squirt it up your nose and get attached to your olfactory nerves in your nose and go directly into your brain and release that genetic material into your brain. They're already talking about that. So I want to just say that two things, and then I'll address what Maureen said as we're kind of winding down in our hour and a half here, is this. If all of you people listening to this, if you slip and hear yourself say, you know, something about the vaccine, say, wait a minute, stop, wait, it's not a vaccine, it's a shot, it's an injection of foreign matter, foreign genetic material, autocorrect and start teaching the other people that are around you to autocorrect on that too. Because whenever you say the word vaccine, people think it's just like a flu shot. I can just go get that. It's just like a flu shot. So if we stop saying vaccine and vaccines are over there and injections and shots and the other thing is not about shedding, it's about transmission. And the transmission may even be that those spike proteins get activated by the 5G, like what Carrie was talking about. They resonate differently, and maybe that's what's shedding. And it carries with it some EMF-type properties. We don't really know. But we think that, but all of it is in the area of logical conjecture that's done with critical thinking. So I quite think that what I think there's a, you know, a lot of people have been using ivermectin. You know, I think ivermectin is like, I've said this many times and I mean it, that they should take fluoride out of the water and put ivermectin in. Everybody should be getting ivermectin. I mean, there's no side effects. There's no complications. It's been used for more than 60 years. And ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine work against viruses by two different mechanisms of action. hydroxychloroquine binds to the sigma one and sigma two proteins, which aren't necessary for most of you guys to remember, but they bind to a certain protein where ivermectin blocks the spike protein, globs onto the spike protein in circulation, the spike protein on the virus, spike protein on other coronaviruses, and it also blocks the binding to the ACE receptors that are on the surface of all your cells. It also has some anti-inflammatory properties. So it works by two different things. I think that since we still don't know exactly yet what this shedding thing is, to me, it makes sense to be on both ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, maybe in alternating weeks. You know, the way that we prescribe ivermectin in our office, it's dosed by weight. And it's close to somewhere around 10 milligrams per kilo. Don't quote me on that, but it's dosed by weight. And we give one pill a week. If you have a risk of high, every other week. And if you have a risk of high exposure, you're a healthcare practitioner, you're working in a nursing home and they're giving everybody all these injections, we suggest that you take one pill every week. I believe that the hydroxychloroquine could be 400 milligrams three times a week, every other week. Again, both of these medications are super low risk, very low in the way of side effects and interactions. You know, hydroxychloroquine's been used for 70 years. I think ivermectin's used something like 60 years presentation I just did for our boot camp, it was something like billions and billions of doses of these have already been given. And so to me, that makes sense. You can get those through the frontline doctors are prescribing for people all over the country. You can get, if you've got a holistic practitioner that will write the prescriptions for you. We write for it in our office, but only for people in the state of Ohio. So anybody that's listening to this, it's only for people in the state of Ohio because that's the only license that we have is for the state of Ohio. We use several different compounding pharmacies that do this. A lot of people will say, what about ivermectin that I can get at the animal shop, that I can go get it for my veterinarian store? Yes, that's ivermectin, but none of us as professionals and doctors can advocate for that. I mean, you just don't really know what's in it. You don't really know the dose. Let the buyer beware. If you choose to do that, you're on your own. I personally don't advocate that. I think that it's also really important if you're going to get anything tested at all, what you need to get tested is a vitamin D level. You need to know what your vitamin D level is. And, you know, as Dr. Merritt said in lots of her presentations, that the Indonesians have worked out that if your vitamin D level is greater than 30, you have a less than a 4% chance of ending up in intensive care from COVID. And we think that the vitamin D level therapeutically should be somewhere between 80 and 100. So get your vitamin D level tested. I would say get a zinc level tested. It should be somewhere between 7 and 12. I think it's really important to take quercetin, which is a plant-based antioxidant, which drives the zinc into the cells and helps as an antioxidant. There are a long list of other types of things that you can do to protect yourself. And I think that with this whole transmission process, if there is something that's being airborne, which is kind of the most likely way that that's happening. I mean, other than fecal oral transmission, like what Larry said, if you go to the bathroom and you wipe in between, if you're in a public restroom, you know, just going and turning on the faucets, you can transmit in that direction while you're getting ready to wash your hands. It makes less sense to me that it's something that's transmitted in that direction. It makes more sense to me that it's something possibly airborne, like the adenovirus. They, you know, even the AstraZeneca shot is made from monkey adenoviruses, from chimpanzee adenoviruses. So that's an adenovirus also. So those make sense to me. Pfizer and Moderna, all of them all make blood clots. Like what Dr. Merritt was saying, you know, she and I had a really long, we had a great interview the other day. And I'm going to put a plug in that's all up on my podcast now. We did a deep dive. Lee, in less than a week, we've already had over 10,000 views on that. It's just been great. It was a great podcast. And then the deep dive was even better. And so, but we talked about the fact that she's an orthopedic surgeon. She still works in hospitals. She's hung out. She's been in the military. She's hung out with neurosurgeons. And Larry and I've talked about this. I think I mentioned it to Carrie at one point in time. Have you ever seen in our combined clinical history of, you know, well over 100 years between us, a case of CFST? cerebral vein thrombosis. Has anybody ever seen it? And none of us ever have. We said if somebody said something about it, it was sort of like, wow, that was really a rare and unusual thing. It's not common. And now within 4 months, we've got almost 250 reported cases, and it's full court press ahead. Let's make this mandatory to keep your job, to get on an airplane and all this other stuff. So I think that the main things that the last thing I want to add, what you can do, I think is important, that if this ends up to be some sort of an airborne transmission, my backdrop would also say, also use some colloidal silver and use it respectfully. You know, I think that people that take colloidal silver every single day, remember colloidal silver kills the good guys and the bad guys and the good guys. So you're going to be messing with your microbiome, but you know, to put a little liquid colloidal silver and sniff it up your nose and, you know, to kind of get, you know, clean out those particles, maybe put a little in your mouth, swish in spit, you know, whatever's on your hands, maybe colloidal silver. I don't know. There aren't any magic bullets for this. And Maureen, there's not a lot of, you know, foo-foo good stuff that we can say about all of this other than you got to do whatever it takes to just keep your immune system healthy. Remember, health is an inside out phenomenon. We swim in stuff all the time. Yeah. The difference is that the stuff we're swimming in now is not natural stuff. It's bioweapon stuff. And it's been released upon the whole planet. And that is a little bit frightening.
It's very frightening. And I want to go around the panel one more time quickly to just, before we get to a call to action, which we have to end this with a call to action. But I want to, before we get last comments from everyone, I'd like to, Dr. Christine Northrup, who I listen to every night, your podcast. And I agree with you, Sherry. You know, we can do all these wonderful things to support our body, and we must do them to prevent as best we can. But also, there's a vibrational issue involved. There's a staying in a positive mindset, staying out of fear. And I think that's essential to be able to get through these times and stay healthy in body, mind, and spirit and traverse these crazy times. So Dr. Northrup, can you say a few words about that? And then we'll go around and get some calls to action, some things that every one of you think are essential that we need to do as a society, as women who are being affected by this the most. What can we do to, I mean, I'm Irish, 100% Irish. I want to rise up. I want to resist. I want to form an army of people who know what's really going on and just put a stop to this madness. As Carrie said today when we were talking briefly, let's get a moratorium on giving these injections. I mean, we can do that. If there's 1,000 people here listening tonight, Dr. Larry and I did a small little video the other day. There's over 400,000 views. People are so anxious to get this information and to do something about it. So I really think this is our moment. And so Dr. Chris, tell us what we can do to stay in a more positive mindset, in a higher vibration and resist.
Well, first of all, you need to understand that people really, really get this wrong. And they believe things like, well, we're all in this together and I'm not gonna leave behind the people who have had the shot, and you know, we're all of this. And it's like, at some point you have to decide, you know, it's the sort of the bleeding heart guy in the barracks who puts everyone at risk because he befriends a terrorist out in the jungle who comes and kills them all at night. So I think that we need to be very clear about doing what we can to take care of ourselves. I was on the Lazarus Initiative yesterday with Sasha Stone, and he had on David Sarita. David is in Canada and he works with 432 Hertz. He works with tones. And when we actually sing these whole tones, each of which relates to a chakra, that can change our DNA. So it's very, very important that we be around the right kind of music, the right kind of people. And I was just getting the protocol of Gene Decode, who has a protocol for Morgellon syndrome, which is where those artificial fibers come out of your body. There's a lot on that. And he suggested something really interesting, and it's this. You take a bath in half a milliliter of organic soap, like organic laundry soap, and alfalfa pellets or hay that you buy at the pet store from hamsters. He said, you lie down in this hot bath, including that you eventually immerse your head. And he said, if you have a black light, and I talked to Carrie about this, if you have a black light, you can literally see the hydrogel, the nanobots, the AI little fibers come out of your body and go to the alfalfa. I don't have a black light, so I don't know if this is true. Then he says you take a bath, then you take a shower with Dr. Bronner's peppermint soap. Mm-hmm. Soap off twice, it's a universal antidote. Then with gloves on, you take all of that stuff out of your bathtub, wrap it up, peel the gloves off, put them in the bag so that it doesn't get back into you. So I think that that's something we can do. And also we have to remember that even these AI particles thrive on negativity. They thrive on fear. They thrive on anger. We need to bring in, this is a war between good and evil as I see it. We need to bring in our Christed light power, like literally bring in Archangel Michael and his cobalt blue sword of light. You bring in the Christed energy, you bring in the Sophia Mother Earth from the ground up. For whatever reason, I just don't have any fear about this. I feel, Maureen, this is our moment. This is our moment, because if this does not scare the pants off people, I don't know what will. I don't know what will. It seems to me any 16-year-old, 17-year-old would want to be able to have the ability to have a baby someday. And our fertility as a human race is under attack here, and we need to stop it. And you do that not by getting into doom and gloom. You do it by getting into inspired action, not action that's all over the place. Oh my God, the skies. No, you do what we did here. We all got together. We came together. We're getting this out. Just like at the airport, Tiffany and I had a discussion. What do you think this is about? Getting the word out beyond the sensors. I'd also really like to have a database of all of these people who have not had this shot, but are adversely affected, and start collecting a database. And I have someone who's able to do that kind of thing.
Thank you so much. Dr. Larry, give us a short synopsis, closing statement. What are the action steps we can take at this insane time?
Okay, thank you, Maureen. And thank you, Dr. Chris and Dr. Tenpenny, for your last remarks. One of the things that is, I think, very important in our time is for people who have not gotten the shot to get together in person. One of the reasons for the lockdown is to prevent people from congregating and amassing enough of a strength and a rebellion to fight back. One of the reasons for the masks is the same, to keep people apart. And so I think that we, and this is already starting to happen, Stand for Health Freedom is helping to amass people. MakeAmericansFreeAgain.com also helping to get people together. There are Doctors for World Ethics that are helping to work together, World Doctors Alliance. We need to get people together. People need to start mobilizing and seeing the support that we can give each other, and the support and the strength that we all have from ourselves and when we're together. I think, and I'm going to say something gloom and doom, but I don't think it's gloom and doom, Maureen. I think our leaders are not our leaders. We have lost our government. We are not being governed. We are being ruled. We do not have government. We have rule-ment. We have lost our courts. We have lost our Congress. We have lost our media. We have lost our medical institutions. We have lost the people who are supposed to be helping to protect us. We need to stop asking those people to protect us. And we need to take the protection on our own shoulders. And that requires us to turn to where the power really is. And that's in our own inner authority. And that's amongst those of us who are awake, who want to be awake, who are trying to be awake, and who need to go on with our lives. And so I want to thank everybody for attending, and thanks for the opportunity to share my thoughts.
Thanks, Larry. And Dr. Madej, can you give us your final thoughts? How can we empower each other this time?
I agree with Larry in that we should get together minimum once a week in person. And here with UI Media, Tim Ray and I, we've been encouraging local people here to start their own groups locally. We call it freedommeetup.org. You can look that up, and we help you start the group. And you don't even have to know what you're doing. The point is to get people who just want freedom there, and you don't discuss politics or anything, but because it doesn't matter anymore. You're there to defend and support each other. And we help with educational sources, et cetera. But the point is to physically get together once a week. That is so powerful, I promise you. That physical connection is amazing. And plus, there's an energy that is synergistic when you get together. Because again, you know, your heart goes out minimum 6 feet from your body with its love frequency, okay, which is the highest frequency out there. When you bring people together, there's a synergy. It's exponential. And just being together is amazing. So please just spend 2 hours of the week doing that, and you make a huge difference. And then that spreads, because people, you know, they need to follow others, right? And I'm happy to help. If you want to start something local, we can do a Zoom. Anyway, freedommeetup.org, and hugging and praying and kissing and cooking together and finding joy in music and dancing and singing, and that brings that energy up, because that is the key to this. This is a frequency war we're under. This is a battle between good and evil. This is what we've read about in the book of Revelation. It's here, but don't be afraid, because we're the ones with the power. We've just been manipulated and lied to about reality, lied to about who we are and what we are and what we came from and what we are capable of. So don't let that fear and that panic get to you. And let me tell you that there's no bioweapon I've ever seen, and believe me, this is not the first time they've launched them, that is that strong, because we are amazing beings. We're spiritual beings as well. We always learn how to adapt and overcome. And this is no different, I promise you. But if you let yourself get into that fear and panic and that low frequency, yes, it will affect you. So it's definitely a hard war, because it's in our minds, and we have to be strong enough to realize that. And Larry's right, Dr. Larry's right. You cannot depend on any one magic person to come here. The governments are gone as we know them, because under the Emergency Act, they do not exist. The executive branch answers to FEMA in our country. They are just figureheads. It doesn't matter who is in power there. It doesn't matter. So get that out of your head. And our medicine, unfortunately and sadly, took a very dark turn, particularly in the last few years, last 5 to 10 years. So do not expect them as a group to come up with a magic cure either, but that's okay, because the power still comes within us. And this is a time that you come back and you reach and you find that love and that energy and that brilliance, and that light is going to shine from us. I promise you, we are not alone. We have our creator God, we have Yeshua, Jesus Christ. That's my personal belief, but I mean, just know that there's a higher power than us that connects all of us. And don't let them fool you and disconnect you. So I just promise you, just start meeting every week, and that's the key. And do bentonite clay baths. They're amazing for heavy metals and radiation and that kind of thing as well.
You're right about those meetings. We have a meeting here every single week. It is a game changer.
Yeah, I agree. We have a local farmers market started by someone who's going to be the next constitutional sheriff. I recommend highly you go meet with your sheriff. You talk to him. Sherry, you turned me on to this many months ago. And they're just there to defend the Constitution and defend you. And this market, everybody's running around hugging. The children are playing like children should be playing. And we're all buying organic produce, and there's music playing. And it's like, I felt like I died and went to heaven. It was fabulous. That's the way life should be. So yes, we're all working nationally. We're all working globally. But we have to also find time for laughter and fun and hugs and potlucks and just great times together, because that's what's going to keep us really healthy and strong too. So Dr. Lee, our parting words. And you're on mute there. You're muted.
You're muted. You're muted. And one last thing that
automatic. It must auto mute me. I don't know.
Maureen, before we all go, I want everybody to look at the camera and smile so we can take like a good picture of everything that's happening here. So we've got it in our thing. Okay. Can we do that? And we'll do that. And then we'll let Dr. Merritt close out. So everybody look at the camera and smile. Come on, smile. Oh, wait a minute. How did that happen? One more time. And for whatever reason, this thing won't go away. So let me try this one more time. All right. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Good. Lee, hit it. Hit it out of the park.
What I was saying is I agree with all the necessary higher power, but I'm going to say this is kind of under the category of praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. You know, I think there's a small number of people in the world that are running this show. I want to call it a kind of show, but anyway. And just like we've seen this before, a small number of people at the top are pulling the strings and organizing and thinking about this. And I just want to quote something. This is from the policy for the new American century, written by U.S. defense insiders like Chertoff and Cheney and Wolfowitz and the usual suspects. And this is what they said. This is in 2000. Advanced forms of biologic warfare that can target specific genotypes may transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to a, quote, politically useful tool. That's their exact words. And I think people need to understand who would think bioweapons are a politically useful tool. And the answer are psychopaths. And you're not going to stop psychopaths with argument or good feelings. And at some point, we have to take down the industrial organization that is bringing it to us or something. And, you know, in World War II, if we had known about the Schwerin ball bearing plant in Germany, that was a linchpin that if we'd taken it down, every German tank and car and plane would have ceased to move. But we didn't know that was the linchpin. It's interesting in this situation how badly they don't want us to know about treatment. They don't want us to know about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And I think there's a reason here, because that is the linchpin. If we want to take away the fear of the PSYOP, you know, that Dr. Larry's talking about, if we want to take that fear away, I think we have to have a systematic way. We have to make sure we can somehow protect people's ability to get those medications and somehow get them out of the PSYOP. If we, you know, we have, that is a key figure point here. Yes, it's take off the masks. That's a control thing. And I just think, because we can't individually, I can protect myself and my family and my household to a degree, but if they kill off, you know, 150 million Americans, there's nothing stopping China or anybody that wants to come over and take out the rest of us. We really have, this is a national security issue that somebody, I mean, we need to consider. And so we have to get other people. We have to wake up the sheeple. And we have to make them realize they're coming for your children. And one of the things we need to do, I think, is people need to, and especially doctors, but people need to be self-examined and realize, if they realize that they're coming after our children, are you working for a pharmaceutical company? Are you working in an industry that's helping to bring this to us? Are you working for the bioweapons lab at St. Jude's Hospital? You know, are you involved in this stuff? Because if you are, you're not going to survive this. They never spare the people, the capos. Okay. Just keep that in mind. People need to keep that in mind. And I think that we have to, I hope this doesn't come to this, but I think it's going to be a fight. And stopping the immunization, step one, making people not vulnerable to the next round of, let's say, MERS, the Middle Eastern respiratory, you know, which is more fatal than this one. This one was just a PSYOP, but the next one might not be. And keep in mind, they have small, do we know, you know, the other thing that somebody needs to do is to look if we can treat things like smallpox with these new treatments. You know, smallpox is 60% fatal and we know it's in the labs. So I that's just my practical points.
Thank you, Dr. Lee. Tiffany, I'm actually going to ask you to do a couple of closing remarks. This is your brainchild. And I know you feel so strongly about all of us taking action to prevent mandates and these asinine vaccine passports. How, in the midst of, you know, just being what's recorded to the CDC, 60,000 adverse reactions, over 3,000 deaths, never mind all the things we're talking about tonight, how in God's name can they be talking about vaccine friggin' passports and mandating them? So please give us some action steps. We know this recording will be available on Dr. Sherry Tempany's website. It'll be on the NAM website. We'll make it available for the millions of people who are going to watch this. What's that, Sherry? Yes. Okay. So take us home, Tiffany.
We're going to make it available everywhere. Once we get it processed, it needs a little bit of editing. We just want to make it, release it to everybody that's here. We've got several other people with great big platforms that they want to either do it from the audio or the video form, just everywhere. It's just going to go everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks everybody who joined, and thanks Sherry and Larry for letting us hijack your event tonight and plan this out. I helped put this together because there are a lot of people out there that are very concerned about what's happening with their bodies. And I'm here representing the women of the universe, the moms, and the people that have trouble understanding what might be going on here. And listening to you guys has been absolutely incredible. And it's taught me a lot of things. And I think it's going to teach a lot of people a lot of things too. And although it seems really complex and it seems like it can be very doom and gloom, I think we need to just take some things that we can learn from this, because it can seem really overwhelming. And that's that we just need to pay attention and we need to listen. We have to recognize the fact that information is not getting to us because it's being censored, that people on this call are being silenced. You've never heard of these theories before because they haven't let you hear of these theories before. And we have to recognize the fact that we need to not only listen to each other, but we need to listen to our bodies. And just because it doesn't sound like it makes sense doesn't mean that it doesn't make sense. And so I encourage everybody that, as crazy or outlandish as some of these ideas may sound, look into them, because they're coming from a very, very deep place of tons of research, incredibly brilliant people. They're not coming out of nowhere. So don't be afraid. Take this as an opportunity to learn and start researching. And if you need resources for that, at the MAM website, any of the websites of any of the people on the call here today. There is something happening with women, and there is something happening with other people who have not gotten any of these shots. And you can see some of the testimonials that I've been receiving and that people on our social media sites have been receiving at covidvaccinereactions.com. They're collecting them. We're going to continue to collect them. I think at the end of the day, we need to make sure that we're paying attention, that we're communicating, that we're staying together, and that we're staying positive, because this is going to be something that we're going to have to fight. And it starts with the vaccine passport. I know that's in mainstream news. There's going to be a lot of campaigns coming out about that. At the end of the day, you need to understand that you have to take responsibility for your health. And when the government or anyone removes that ability from you, then you don't have your body anymore. And so regardless of what's causing this, how, at the end of the day, you need to maintain control of your own body and of your children's body. And you need to make sure that everybody else has the opportunity to do the same. So at the end of this, if there's one takeaway that you have, it's that there's a lot we don't know, and there's a lot we need to learn, and there's a lot that can be happening, but we do have ownership of some things. We may not be able to control everything, but we can continue to fight to make sure that we still maintain control of the things that we can control. So pay attention to the legislation that's happening in your state. Make sure that you do not allow vaccine passports to happen in private companies, in government companies or agencies, anywhere. Make sure that there's always a choice and that we continue to maintain control over our own bodies. So watch that, and do not let these vaccine passports happen, because if that happens, we'll be giving up a whole lot of ourselves, even more.
Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you, everyone. They're messing with the wrong people. They're messing with women. So they don't know. They're in for a fight. Let's do this. Let's do it together. Let's be strong and healthy and beat these bastards. Psychopaths. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great night.
Maureen, I just want to say goodnight from Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P. You can find us here every Thursday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I want to thank Maureen for moderating. Remember, mamm.org. If you don't know who these people are, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Christiane Northrup, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Carrie Made, you now know them, and please know them more. Very smart, very heartfelt, very beautiful people, along with Maureen and Tiffany. Cookie, thank you. We'll see you next week. Critically Thinking, Dr. T and Dr. P. Love you, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.